bitch with a baddie friend. With a baddie friend. I love seeing two bad bitches be friends. I love seeing two bad bitches be friends. Like a bad bitch duo.
Welcome back to the podcast with Gina
and Graciela.
And how about you just go ahead and let us know what we're about to get into for today?
Okay, so I was having a conversation with somebody a couple days ago, and I thought it was like a really interesting take. Because it was, like, from a male's perspective. But we were talking about how, for a lot of women, they settle for men that they don't really find attractive because these men are able to provide them, you know, other things. Like, financially, they might be stable. They might, like, future-wise, they're, like, ready to settle down, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So they rather just settle for the man that they don't really find attractive and they can, like, learn to love, essentially. Based off what they can provide for them instead of finding someone that is attractive and might also have those qualities.
Okay. So I think that, like, typically when I think of this conversation, I think of it from the woman's perspective, perceiving what a man does in this way. I think we've actually, like, talked about it before. I think it's called, like, the cab theory or, like, the taxi cab theory or whatever. But it's just the idea, for anyone who doesn't know, it's the idea that when a man is ready to settle down and get married to someone, the first girl that he dates once he makes up his mind is the girl that he's going to get married to. It doesn't matter if he was in a relationship with someone else for, like, 6 years beforehand and they broke up, or, like, if he's gonna be willing to kind of date a couple of people to see who he wants to marry. But it's kind of just like, as soon as he sets his mind on, okay, it's time for me to settle down and get married, I'm just going to do that with the first girl that I get involved with. But I think hearing it the other way around and kind of being like, women have a version of that is pretty interesting. I don't think that, like, that's what immediately would come to mind for me when I think of, like, settling down, basically.
Yeah. Well, I think that for women, there's that, like, after you reach a certain point, it's like, if you want to have kids, it's going to be harder past, like, what? I think it's, like, 33, maybe? Like,
I think it's just, like, the older you get, the more your fertility goes down. Right. So, like, once you hit, like, 30, 35.
And men might not really think about things like that. Right. So, it's, like, if a woman wants to have a child and she can't find a man that she really wants to have a child with, but then she finds this one man that loves her, treats her right, and is able to provide everything for her, but he's just not attractive. The other qualities of what he has is what makes him attractive. And it's just, like, I feel like that gotta be, like, an instinct thing as far as, like, evolution. Like, you know, you want a man that's gonna be able to provide for you. And for men, it's, like, I 100% agree that there are some men that, once they reach a certain point and they've decided that they want to just settle down, it really does not matter who it's for. But for men, for me, I look at it like, men that do that are fucked up, because you don't really like this person. You like the idea of this person. And I think that even, like, for women, it's different because they still like the person. It's just that they might not find them attractive.
I think for me, and, like, it's, I'm not saying that it, like, doesn't happen or it's impossible, but I feel like with a lot of more recent statistics that have come out about women, especially women, like, in the United States alone, but the more educated a woman is, the more, or I don't know if that's, like, messed up to say, whatever, but the more education and career driven that a woman is, the later in life she's going to be when she's ready to settle down and, like, get married and have kids and stuff like that. And I feel like, statistically speaking, especially in more recent years, there's been a large amount of women who have been okay with remaining single and just, like, not settling down because they don't feel like they have to settle for someone that doesn't tick all of their boxes, or being okay with being a single mom because they'd rather have the child that they wanted to have and do that on their own versus be with someone who they don't actually want to be with. So the way that I'm just thinking about it is, it definitely happens, like, 100,000%. But I also feel like the more that our generation, like, grows and we become the new adults, and with, like, the millennials and whoever's, like, I don't know all the generations in order, but I feel like we're all increasingly becoming aware that you don't have to fit this ideal traditional, like, nuclear family mm-hmm. type of lifestyle. And I think that's a really good thing. However, I do think that the taxi cab theory is, like, a phenomenon that we need to, like, some world-class psychologist needs to look into that. Because how is it so easy to just settle down for anyone?
Yeah. And it's just, like, a universal experience. That's why it's, like, it would be very hard for me to believe that it's not true. Mm-hmm. Because even with, like, if you think about it, it's, like, how many times have you, like, heard women talking about, like, a man that they've dealt with who have had a first love? And mm-hmm. once that man has a first love, mm-hmm. that's going to be his, like, first and only love for the rest of his life.
Pride and joy.
Like, that is his pride and joy. And if they do not last, it don't matter if he cheats on her, if mm-hmm. he, like, if he did something wrong, like, that's always going to be the woman that he goes back to.
Yeah.
And I saw this TikTok recently, and it was this guy, and he was talking about how if you love somebody and you feel like you truly love somebody, and then you guys break up, and then you guys go through shit to get, like, you guys, it's been years and, like, da da da, and then you meet this person again, and you don't feel the same way about this person, that you never really loved this person, because when you love somebody, you're gonna love them forever. Like, it doesn't really matter what they do or what they don't do. Mm. You're gonna love this person forever. And, like, the men in the comments were basically agreeing with what he was saying. And that's interesting to me, because I'm like, he was giving the example of when he was dating some girl, they broke up, and she was, like, up. Like, once they broke up, she was, like, doing really good in every aspect of her life, and he was down terrible. Like, he was doing so shitty, and he was, like, completely heartbroken because he thought that was the love of his life. Mm-hmm. And then that, like, years went by, and he's been in different relationships, she's been in different relationships, and then she hits him up and is like, hey, like, do you want to go out for dinner and, like, catch up? And a normal person would have been like, absolutely not. Like,
right.
Yeah, no, I don't. The fuck? We dated 5 years ago.
Right.
But he was like, yeah, no, like, let's go. And then that the moment he saw her, he was like, no, like, this is the love of my life. Like, this is literally, like, I literally love her. And all the feelings that he had for this person came back to him. Okay. But he had said that he had gone out with all these other women mm-hmm. in between her. So to me, it's like, you mean to tell me that you dated other women, you had feelings for all these other women, but you were still like, I'm not really in love with them. Mm-hmm. I'm still in love with this other person. And it's been years. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just like, that's why, like, to me, I feel like that proves that theory, because had she not hit him up,
yeah,
right, like, he yeah. would have just continued going on like that, and eventually he was gonna be like, you know what, like, I want to settle down, like, I'm yeah. gonna get married.
Yeah.
And then this person that he's with, and the thing is, like, it's not like they're gonna treat that person bad, or it's like, and that's the scary part about mm-hmm. it, that it's not like they're sitting here and they're like being abusive, or they just aren't good to this person. Mm-hmm. This could be the most perfect man, like, does everything for you, but he's not actually in love with you. It's mm-hmm. just like the fairy tale yeah. that he's living for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that another part, I don't know if it's like part of the taxi cab theory or if it's just something that they be saying about the male mind and the way it works with relationships and all of that, but that, like, whole idea with the first love and them being very attached to that person even after all of these years to come, it's really scary when men do settle down with someone that isn't that person, and they kind of have their first love on a pedestal, because everything that you do as their wife, you're going to be compared to that girl mm-hmm. that you don't know, that he no longer knows. And especially in situations where they were together for, like, a decent amount of time and that girl was close with the family, like, even the family is always going to compare you to mm-hmm. that girl. And I think that there are going to be people that are less upfront about it. Like, they're not going to make it obvious. They might, to, like, you as the woman in that relationship with him in the present time, it just might feel like they don't really want to get to know you that much, or they don't like you as much as you would like them to, or, like, be as close to them as you would like to be, or close with, whatever. But it's because they had this other girl that they envisioned their son spending the rest of their life with. And you're always going to get compared to that girl. And I don't want it to sound like I'm talking from personal experience, because I'm not, okay? But this is what I've heard other women vocalize. And I just really think that it's interesting that it is such a common experience that so many people go through.
Yeah.
Because I feel like as a woman, when I'm seeing someone new, like, I'm not always comparing them to the first person that I had a very serious relationship with.
Yeah. And that's, like, because that's weird. Like, yeah. Why would you...
I think maybe there's, like, certain qualities that I look for in a partner that I had in him that I'm like, okay, I would like a person that really takes the time to, like, figure out what my favorite, like, fucking, like, sock brand is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's, like, silly or whatever. But I think that from every relationship that you're in your entire life, it's very easy to, like, pick and choose qualities from individuals that you like and you're going to look for in your next partner. I don't think that's, like, crazy or nothing. But I don't think that I've ever sat here and been like, I would never hit him up and try to get back together with him.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm past that. I'm such a different person. And I feel like it's crazy. Like,
and that's why it's so crazy to me that so many, like, men have that mindset where if that girl were to come back to them, like, mm-hmm. they would be like, yeah, like, mm-hmm. let's do it again. Because you are so many different, like, you're such a different person than you were back then, mm-hmm. in so many different ways. Because even, like, comparing, like it for him, he said it was 5 years, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what point in your life you were at, mm-hmm. you are not in that, nowhere close to that same spot.
Right.
At all.
Right.
So, it's pretty crazy.
I'm assuming this guy is probably, like, in his late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
So, even, like, a five-year time, at that point in your life, you're, like, at such monumentally different places. Unless you're mm-hmm. a bum, I guess, that you're, like, stagnant and you're always in the same spot forever and ever. But I would think that the difference of someone's life from when they're, like, 25 to 30 versus, like, 30 to 35 is so different.
So different. It has to be.
But also, like, with them coming back together, something else that I do believe in, though, is called the invisible string theory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, like, when you're meant to be with a person or have a certain person in your life, they're always going to come back around. You guys are always going to have some type of, like, connection to one another.
Yeah.
So, in my eyes, I see that's what happened in their case. And he shouldn't really downplay the love that he had for his other partners and compare it to what he has for this one particular woman, because it sounds like they were just meant to be together. Because it could just be like a right person, wrong timing kind of situation,
mm-hmm.
where they both just needed to, like, grow as individuals and kind of better themselves overall before they could come back to each other and, like, be good for one another. I don't think that's, like, the standard
yeah.
experience, though.
I think that the theory of, like, people that are meant to be in your life, they're, like, literally, they serve a purpose there for one reason or the other, is so interesting. Because even, like, let's, like, with our friendship, right? We've known each other for a very long time, but we didn't actually get close until after high school.
Yeah.
And even that, it was, like, a couple years
and into... And for people who don't know, we've known each other since middle school.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why it's, like, the timing is crazy.
So, it's, like, we've always been in each other's space, and we were, like, in the same friend group, but our friend group was, like...
pretty large.
Yeah. So, it was, like, you know, a lot of people to, like, connect with. But it's, like, when we did... It was, like, the moment that we started, which I think it was, like, for your 21st birthday that we went out.
Mm.
It was, like, from then, it was just, like, locked in.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we would have been able to have as close of a relationship had we started being friends in high school. Like, for real, close friends in high school.
Yeah. I don't know. When I sit here and I look back on a lot of my friendships from high school, I really question, like, people's intentions, I guess, is, like, the best, most diplomatic way to put it. But I think with us kind of getting a lot closer as adults, because that's what we were at that time, like, I do think it was beneficial, because I think that when you're younger, your conflict resolution styles are different and just your interests and stuff like that. But we're at a point, and, like, at that time that we really, like, connected or whatever, we were at a point where we had a lot of similarities, and then also we were, like, adults. Like, I'm not going to be childish about how I go about literally anything. It doesn't have to even be, like, an argument, but, like, there is never a question of, like, oh, who's going to be driving? It just is. Like, it just falls into place type stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like any type of little rifts that we would have had in high school, would have carried over. Like, we've seen.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of childhood friendships end, is that stuff just builds up and then explodes. So
mm-hmm.
I think the fact that we didn't really have a chance to have those was probably for the best, because
yeah,
like, I also feel like my younger self would have held on to things a lot more than I would as an adult. So
yeah, the reason why I was bringing that up was because with a lot of people, I think that the theory of, if you are meant to be with somebody mm-hmm. and you let go of that person, and you're meant to be, like, you're gonna find that person somewhere along the way again.
Bro, if someone is meant to be in your life, they will circle back.
Yeah, like, they will circle back, right?
From personal experience, there will be circling of the block.
Yeah. So it's like, I 100% believe that, but I think that sometimes where people get it confused is that there's certain people that they're a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you want them to come back, and they may come back, they're coming back as a lesson. They're not coming back as you're meant to be. Because if yeah. you were with somebody and they were, like, cheating on you and or like abusive to you in a relationship, and then years later they come back,
mm-hmm.
that's not a person you give a second chance to.
Right.
Because, you know, like, they're, no, that's a lesson. That's God trying to see if you still don't. Okay. And you need to be like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm better than this. I'm stronger than this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But even, like, when I think of me and my relationship, we live so close to each other. And then where we, like, ended up meeting each other was nowhere, like, really close to home. So mm-hmm. it was very, like, interesting when I found out, like, where he lived. Or even, like, our boundary schools.
Mm-hmm.
He lives closer to my elementary school than I did. Right? And it's like, we could have met there, but he went to a completely different elementary school. Like, mm-hmm. middle school, we would have gone to the same middle school and the same high school, but yeah. I went a different route.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so interesting, because it's like, even, like, me on my way to school in the morning, every single morning, I would pass by his house, because the person who gave me, like, a ride to school
mm-hmm.
lives right there. Like, literally right where he lives. So it's like, yeah, and it's like that string. It's like, mm-hmm. we've always been right there, you know?
Yeah.
And then another thing I find interesting is where, I think it was on TikTok that I saw, this girl was talking about how, oh, have you guys noticed that when you stop being friends with somebody, or you stop, like, you end a relationship with somebody, you never see that person again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you do not cross paths with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, okay, that's because that lesson was learned.
Yeah.
And we're on to the next. Yeah. And it's just so crazy to me that that's how things work. Because it's like, there are certain people that we could have definitely crossed paths again, but mm. I have not ever in my life seen you since we stopped interacting.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're in a situation that you do not need to be in, but you're, like, holding on to this person because it's like, you know, maybe it's meant to be, then just let that go, because you don't have to settle down, basically, because if it is meant to be, they're going to come back.
For sure. I think that it is important to, like, take that time apart when it feels like something is forced, because not to, like, trauma dump or nothing, but someone that I was really close with in my childhood, we basically got to a point in adulthood where we just, like, were not aligned, and I had to stop being friends with that individual, and it wasn't until more recent years where we kind of reconnected,
mm-hmm.
but even then, our relationship is so much different than it was the first time around. Because I've kind of learned how this person fits into my life, and I've understood that we can have a relationship with one another, but we cannot be close the way that we were before, because that just wouldn't benefit me, and I don't want to have people around me that I feel like are dragging me down, and I don't want to have, like, resentment for the people that I like to keep around me.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I get it.
And that's exactly why I couldn't settle for a person. I think that, like, if I'm being completely honest, I think that I would rather be single for the rest of my life than settle for someone who matches, like, everything that I'm interested in when it comes to, like, career goals and, like, lifestyle and beliefs and all of that, and just, like, morals and all of those things. If we align so well in all of those things, if I do not find him attractive, that is not going to work for me. That is literally not going to work for me. And it's really mind-blowing to me that people have to settle down. But at the same time, I understand it, because at the end of the day, like, you have to figure out how you're going to make it through today and get to tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's really easy for me to say, like, I'm okay with being single because I feel like I fall on the edge where I've put so much importance on my education and my career goals that for me, that's number one. And, like, everything else is just going to have to fall in place second to it. But I feel very stable in the idea that me being alone isn't going to, like, set me back any type of way. I feel like I would be okay if I'm alone for the rest of my life. But I feel like, not even I feel like, I know that there are other people who don't have the same, like, career aspirations that I do, and they need someone to support them.
Yeah, I think that that's why a lot of the times couples who they're, like, struggling together is, like, what holds them together, because it's kind of, like, they're dependent on each other to get certain things done, like, but some women will stay in toxic relationships or abusive relationships because maybe they're dependent on that person financially, right? And, like, I feel like that's been so normalized.
People will stay in toxic situations because they can't exist outside of that.
Basically.
But it's like abuse, though.
Yeah.
They're put in those situations and taken out of their community and removed from their circle and, like, their working situation, their friend situation, all that changes and becomes completely dependent on their partner. And the manipulative, abusive, toxic partner does that intentionally. And that's why it's so scary that, like, domestic violence statistics are so high, and that's just what gets reported.
Yeah.
But these women cannot leave because they cannot exist without that person.
Especially when children are in the mix, because, I mean, in this economy, like, oh my God, having a child, especially having multiple children, it's like, jobs are very hard to find right now. Rent is extremely, like, expensive.
And if you have kids and you're working, you have to figure out childcare.
Right. And childcare is, like, expensive,
an
too.
An arm and a leg.
Right. So it's kind of just, like, sometimes it's easier to just stay and not have to deal with, because even, like, if you're married, right, a divorce is going to be expensive.
It can be.
It's like, yeah, now you got to get a different place to live. If you guys have, like, shared accounts, it's like half of that is yours, maybe not, right? And you have to take care of these children all by yourself. I saw something recently, and there was this guy who, he wanted a divorce from his wife, and then they got divorced, and they both got 50-50 custody of the children. And then after, he was like, actually, I don't want 50% custody.
Whoa.
Because I have to do so much work. Like, I have so much work. And he went back to his ex-wife and was like, let's get back together. Because this is, like, he asked her for a divorce. She gave him a divorce. And then he was like, I don't have time to be taking care of the kids by myself. Like, it's so much work. And da-da-da-da.
Well, why'd they go 50-50 on custody?
And then she was like, I actually do a lot less work now, because before I was working, I had to come home, cook you a meal too, take care of all of the kids, and now I'm not doing as much work, so I'm perfectly content with being a single woman, like, with just me and my kids. And that's so interesting, because if we think of, like, the traditional role of, like, the woman stays in the house, and then, like, right? Now, a lot of men don't consider women who are, like, who are raising these kids and then, like, also working, they still expect all these, like, motherly duties to be done, but they're not helping, and they don't recognize how much these women are actually doing. So it's kind of just, like, interesting to me to see that this dude is actually, like, for the first time, it seems like he realized how much she was actually doing. And what do you mean? She's like, I'm doing half of the load that I was doing before, and she's raising these kids by herself.
Yeah.
Like, that's so crazy.
That's exactly why the little taxi cab theory is so insane to me. Because these women are in these situations with these men who they don't even know, like, are not deeply in love with them the way that they think they are. And if you're with a man who, like, doesn't value you and doesn't respect you as a person, then of course he's not going to see that on top of working a full-time job, you're also doing all of the motherly duties and all of the household duties. It's, like, so, so, so important to me to have someone who sees you as, like, I don't even want to be his equal. I want to be seen as better than, if I'm being honest. I think part of that has a lot to do with how I was raised in the house, but my parents, it was never like my mom was doing all the household stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to this day, my dad does more of the household duties with, like, cleanliness and, like, cooking and stuff like that than my mom does.
Right.
So, like, bare minimum, like, my man needs to be doing a decent amount of work in the house. So, I cannot imagine being with someone who is, like, that's mind-blowing to them.
Yeah, I also feel the same, where I need someone that is going to acknowledge everything that I'm doing, because I don't want to feel, I feel like that's what leads to people being unhappy in a relationship, in like a marriage, where it's mm-hmm. like you're not really recognizing what each of you do for each other.
Yeah.
And in that scenario specifically, it took a divorce for you to realize and recognize how much work she was doing mm-hmm. and you weren't appreciating it in that moment. And now you're asking for her back and it's like, no, that's not how that works. And it's just so crazy because there's so many people that are dealing with this, where they're in a relationship and they're doing all this work and they don't feel valued.
It's funny to me because let's say that they stayed together, but her like outlook was not her outlook, but like what she did was different. Because imagine you're in your marriage of however many years and you just don't feel valued by your partner. And it's like, okay, I got you. Stops doing his laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Stops cooking meals that have enough portions to include him. Like, if you start treating that person like an individual rather than your partner who's supposed to be helping you, I really wonder, like, is that something that people would be receptive to? If your partner stops doing things for you the way that they have been for, like, however many years, are people going to then take that as, OMG, my partner does so much for me, I should be more appreciative? Or are they going to be like, I'm going to hurt you if you keep that, like, if you keep doing that?
I think it could go either way. Honestly, like, I really feel like it could go either way. I think the hope would be that they're like, because at the end of the day, we're still human. So it's like, there's a lot of things that you might do for someone that you're just doing out of the kindness of your heart. And they're mm-hmm. not really, like, acknowledging that you're doing that. But it's like, you still do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the hope is they're going to realize you're not doing these things anymore. And they're going to be like, wait, what's going on here? Like, what happened? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But I do also think that a lot of people might have the approach of, they might not even recognize that they stopped doing something necessarily for them throughout time. It just might be that one day it like clicks in their head and they're like, I don't fuck with you no more. And they don't really like acknowledge why. And then it's like, oh, it's because you used to do this, that, and the third. And now you don't do that. Like, you don't cook my meals no more. You don't do my laundry no more.
Well, I feel like if I'm seeing someone and we've been together for, like, an elongated period of time, and usually when I cook meals, I cook two portions, but I just start cooking one, like, I think they would notice pretty fast.
I was thinking about, like, the minor things that it's, like, go really unnoticed.
Well, I would stop doing those things, too, but I'm talking about do the big things. Because when it's day 42 and your laundry ain't done and you wearing your panties inside out
for the fourth time.
Like, yes, you should feel nasty. You should feel degraded because that's how I felt, my boy. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Moral of the story, appreciate your partner.
And never settle.
And don't ever, 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 ever settle for nobody.
Never. You guys hear that? Period.
Spin the block if you have to, though.
Once, though. Please limit it to one time. Stop playing in these people's streets.
But, yeah, thank you for listening to 2Gs in a Podcast with Graciela.
And Gina.
Follow us on TikTok, if it's still there, Instagram.
Because they keep playing with us.
Yeah. Fill out the Google form.
With a baddie friend. I love seeing two bad bitches. Two bad bitches be friends. I love seeing two bad bitches. Two bad bitches be friends. Like a bad bitch duo. Like a bad bitch duo.